This is audiobook of extracts from book Planet Logo: The Life of One Cosmic Civilization of Vladimir Strzelecki, from year 1994. This is about astral travels or visits to higher or more developed civilizations. After driving for 2 hours, John took a sharp right off the city highway following the signs leading the way to Woolman Hill. He drove over the commuter rail tracks and continued for a mile along a gravel road to the top of the hill, where there were parking spaces between two houses. One house belonged to the couple who managed the place and took care of the guests. The second housed dormitory rooms, as well as the lecture and meeting room with its large central fireplace, where often, especially in the winter months, a fire crackled, its flames licking the logs cut from the woods on Woolman Hill. When John got out of his car, he was welcomed by Jean and Maureen, the managers, who showed him his quarters in the small wooden cabin, which he had quite to himself. They gave him some blankets, as the temperature tended to drop sharply at night. Jean and Maureen showed John around the main areas of the meditation center, and then John met a flock of sheep outside the buildings, peacefully at pasture here, and an inseparable part of the whole center. They helped to create an atmosphere of peace and quiet in comparison to the busy city, which lay somewhere below this hill. When John went back to his cabin, he felt like a hermit, which was strangely exactly what he had longed for, to be able to spend time in contemplation and spiritual exercise, which he intended to practice here in its greater peace. When he had unpacked and arranged his things a bit, he decided to take a little stroll in the woods. After crossing the driveway, he took the path through the woods, which led him higher and higher up the hill. After almost half an hour, he came to a place which was perhaps the hill's highest point, and from which he could see the surrounding area through the tree branches to the next wooded hill, which was almost like a small mountain range. John sat down on a moss-covered boulder and quietly looked at the hill opposite. He suddenly felt like Moses, who had viewed the promised land from atop a rock. The longer he sat there, the more he was empowered with an unbelievable peace and a strange feeling of the unmistakable presence of destiny, when he began to understand that it was not a coincidence that he should be in this place, but that his presence there had long been planned by something higher, an element out of his control, and it was due to this that he just sat, quietly listening and fulfilling what was meant to be. When the stars were already in the sky, he returned to his cabin and was glad to have found his way back. He had been tired after a long day, and when he lay down on the hard bed, he slept immediately, becoming a part of the starry night, which had spread itself above Woolman Hill. Chapter 2. A Meeting with Av, Citizen of the Planet Logo. A few days after John's arrival at Woolman Hill, he found his time filled not only with walks, meditations, morning Tai Chi exercises, but also attending the flock of sheep, and occasionally helping Jean and Maureen to carry wood to his or other cabins. It was the time of the year when everything was being prepared for autumn, which comes early in this part of the country. John spent a lot of time reading spiritual books, especially contemplating one particular book entitled Bible of the World, which contained excerpts from the sacred works of every significant world religion. For John, it was a very inspirational reading because he realized how many religious paths lead to the same goal, which Christians call God, who is also given the name Jah, Tao, Brahma, and Allah, although the attributes and characteristics ascribed by people to each of these names can be different. And because John saw God as something universal, something eternal presiding over all human qualities and attributes, he compared him to light, which illuminates all space. One evening, he felt the need to write down his feelings in the form of a prayer or meditation, and so he took paper, and, with his pencil, began to write the words, "We came out of space, in the orbits of the stars, from the cosmic dust of eternity. We were born on this planet Earth, which circles in our solar system, in which the light of the sun gives the warmth of life to all. Life in such a wide variety of shapes and sizes pulses around us, and we are a part of it. The energy of life courses through stone, wood, clay, or creatures, in every created thing. It is born again and again and will never be extinguished. Deep in our souls we understand the purpose of human life, Deep in our souls we feel the light of God's reflection. In the silence of deep meditation, we strive to understand the universal spiritual truths, which are contained in the words of every religion and of all spiritual masters who taught on planet Earth. We strive to understand all of the universe as a work of the eternal energy of God, where everlasting architect filled it with the laws which bring order and harmony to the forms of matter, and wisdom and love to the depths of the heart and the soul. With humility, modesty and astonishment, but also with spiritual determination, we want to be a part of eternity so that we can be spiritual children of the order and harmony of the universe. We understand that we are part of the eternal life of the cosmos, which came out of the silence of creation, of the great architect of the universe. We are part of the eternal life which has a thousand forms which come out of it, and again return to the state of oneness at the point of the primordial beginning of creation. John put down his pencil and from the window he fastened his eyes on the starry heavens, which had probably inspired him with the words he had written. In his thoughts he tried to imagine the never-ending depths of space in which probably also existed beings like humans who also gazed upwards at the heavens and asked themselves if somewhere among the billions of twinkling stars there isn't someone who is thinking the same question. After meditating on the possibility of life on other planets in the cosmos, John felt fatigue overtake him and he prepared his bed and lay down on it. Through his mind continued to run the first sentence of his prayer, which slowly lowered him into a well-deserved sleep. We came out of space, in the orbits of the stars, from the cosmic dust of eternity. The following day, John decided that immediately after breakfast he would go for a walk in the country. In order to make a day of it, he prepared some fruit and vegetables, added a couple of pieces of bread, and set out on his way. Nature for John had a special attraction. He could still see in it the primordial traces of creation, and he also liked to observe and discover the harmony, the rules and laws of nature. Nothing in nature was unbalanced, nothing one-sided. Everything had a harmonious pace, naturally meshing into all, and so creating a certain whole, which complemented the individual parts but also gave freedom to each part to exist separately. Man himself could have come up with neither the idea of so many principles nor the detailed laws, which exist in nature. John admired the softness of moss and, in contrast, the hardness of stones, which lay not far off. He admired the unbelievable mechanism of life, which existed the same in the sheep, which grazed along Woolman Hill, as in ants or flies with heart, blood, and other organs, reduced in size to miniature dimensions, but in spite of that, fulfilling their function. Some of these aspects, man could not see with his limited vision until the arrival of strong microscopes which revealed their existence. Nature actually existed only for itself without any help whatsoever from man, who was not its king nor in any way superior but only one of its parts, which developed in its way, and it began to live socially and to think independently. John also believed that communication between nature and man was certainly possible if man were not so loaded down with intellectual thoughts and instead tried to intuitively understand the vibrations and forces, which are emitted around nature and her inhabitants. As an example of this idea, John looked to the Nature Society in Findhorn, Scotland, which was aware of a higher consciousness in nature and worked with nature as with an equal partner. John also saw the similarity to the Taoists' teachings regarding the laws and rules of nature, because Tai Chi, which he practiced every morning, was a virtual copy of the pulling and relaxing of animals which instinctively did these things naturally and gracefully to acquire energy. On the other hand, man had come to think that speed and tension were valuable measures of success and performance. Nature, however, worked on the basis of relaxation and the harmony of smoothness and elasticity of movement in order to achieve the highest flexibility of the muscles of the body and to conserve energy. The path brought him to the same place he had found on his very first day there, a place which reminded him of the hilltops in Israel. He settled down to meditate and, after a while, he felt as if he had floated away from there and was flying high over the valley. He floated upwards over the spruce tree tops, looking down over the region around him. Then he went even higher and flew further towards the wooded hills, which were lit up by the noon sun. During this journey, he realized the eternal strength of the human soul and the unused potential of the human spirit, a new thought for him. Slowly, he opened his eyes and, after some time of which he was not aware, he became conscious of a dilemma in his mind. Was it an actual experience or not? His reason clearly told him that such a thing is not at all possible. On the other hand, something deep inside his soul told him that the experience was genuine and something which could be experienced by almost everyone. Glancing up at the sky, John saw that it was probably time to start heading back, as black clouds were rapidly coming in his direction, and a large part of the sky was already overcast. He quickly ate his vegetarian lunch and then set out for home. He soon came upon the main road and then hurried along the small footpath to his home. Hardly had he stepped inside his cabin and changed his clothes when the clouds burst open, and what seemed like tons of water began pouring down over the landscape. It was late in the afternoon, and it was clear to John that with such weather his usual evening walk would not be possible. So he took his favorite book, Bible of the World, and began to read. After a while, he set the book aside and made himself comfortable in the wooden armchair, closed his eyes, and plunged himself into a state of quiet meditation. His soul began to be slowly freed from the captivity of thought, while his spirit became lighter and more at peace. He felt his soul gradually free herself from the physical weight of the body and rise higher into a sphere where time had no value, and where matter in its hard form had no substance. Light, and a feeling of amazement, filled his soul, which let herself be carried away by a force greater than herself. Then suddenly, as if a magical energy had been released, in front of John's soul stood another being, a creature who did not appear to have any certain solid form, and looked as if it was composed entirely of energy. It hovered near him and observed him with interest. John was not shocked, nor even surprised. Rather, he wondered where this being had come from and where he, John, now actually stood. Although John could not express one word of these questions, suddenly his mind, or rather his soul, received the answers. "My name is Evu and I come from the planet Logo," answered the shining creature. "We are in the sphere of spiritual vibrations where souls can reach out to others who are on a similar level of development. I detected your vibration and so I wanted to meet you." During this first communication, John was a little confused and asked the shining creature for a further explanation. "I know that you are in these spheres for the first time," answered Evu, "but you have no reason to be afraid because here only astral forms of a positive vibration meet." John glanced around him. Everything was lit up with astral light. "This is the sphere of light where souls meet, however it is not used for residing in," explained Evu. "In space exist other spaces." "Why am I here?" asked John telepathically. "Am I dead or how, in fact, did I get here?" Evu's light seemed to quiver with laughter, and then he answered, "You got here as a result of your deep meditation when your soul was freed from your body and was able to enter into the spiritual realms. There is nothing to be afraid of. However, it would be a shame to waste our time talking and not show you the universe." John asked Evu where he had come from, and whether it was an astral sphere or a planet like Earth. Evu told him that he came from the planet Logo, where he is one of the spiritual masters and where life is on a higher evolutionary level. To John, this answer sounded unbelievable and he asked if Evu could show him this planet Logo and take him there. Evu, whose form in the meantime had intensified in brightness, as John's spiritual awareness had grown accustomed to the astral world, looked for a long time at John as if measuring his abilities and strength to make such a long trip. Then he agreed. "Your soul will now fly a great distance through space while only several Earth minutes will pass and so there will be enough time to visit Logo and return. I know that this will not be your last visit to Logo," explained Evu. While Evu explained, John felt his astral form unite with Evu's and suddenly they both began to rise incredibly fast. It was like a space flight from a science fiction movie as they hurled past an uncountable number of stars, constellations, and galaxies. Although there was only the deep silence of space, there still existed a vibration throughout the cosmos, which sounded like the sound of the words Amen or Om. They passed some planets with dense cloudy atmospheres from a distance, while it was possible to look at others more closely, all the way down to the surface, or down to the depths of clean and clear oceans. During the flight they met other souls also flying through space as they were. Suddenly Eva showed John a group of five planets, which began to shine weakly. Quickly they approached the biggest planet, which looked burned out, but on its surface shine a weak light from the sun of the small solar system. When they passed this planet, they saw before them a planet with a light blue and pink atmosphere in which gave off vibrations of peace and harmony. They stopped in space before it and Ava sent John the thought, "This is the planet Logo where I come from. Now we will slowly enter into its atmosphere so that you will be able to adjust to its energy better. First, we will go to the Temple of Cosmic Wisdom, which is surrounded by a park, and there you will have time to absorb the new energy of this place. The citizens of Logo are quite used to seeing astral energy and substance, and they will know that you are not from our world. You will absorb knowledge from this spiritual visit and later you can think about it when you return to planet Earth." And so, the two spirits slowly entered the blue-pink atmosphere of the planet Logo and later they stood before the Temple of Cosmic Wisdom, which was surrounded by different kinds of trees and flowers, all of bright radiant colors and giving off positive vibrations of light energy and delicate scents. Chapter 3. Life on the Planet Logo. John glanced around him. The Temple of Cosmic Wisdom rose before them. It looked as if it were built of white stone, and around it extended the large park filled with wonderfully colored minerals and the vibrant scent of trees and bushes. John's life force felt strengthened by their presence. Ava looked at John and suggested that they should rest for a while until John's soul had adjusted better to the conditions of planet Logo. "In our spirit forms we will be easily able to fly anywhere with the power of our will and thoughts, and so overcome the great distances involved," said Ava. "Now we will go a little way through the park so you can meet some citizens of our planet." During their walk, they met many visitors to the park. John paid particular attention to their physical appearance. It did not differ too much from that of Earthlings. The people of Logo were about 2 feet or half a meter taller, with the same basic physique and characteristic facial expressions as the people of Earth. Their eyes were a little smaller, but they shone brightly. Their brain cases were bigger, and some people were bald. Their bodies, though taller and thinner, looked lighter, and perhaps because of this, their walk was very light and much of the time they seemed to be floating around. Ava added to this view, with a comment on their spiritual development by pointing out that many of them could overcome gravity and had the ability to fly above the ground. "So that you would know," continued Ava in his explanation, "Logo's climate is quite mild. Sunlight falls evenly on the whole surface of our world, and there is no great difference between cold and warm throughout the entire year. It is always mild. Also, the air of Logo is moderately charged with energy, which the inhabitants breathe and absorb. Our planet lies in the Logo galaxy. Our solar system consists of a grouping of 5 planets. In our system also lies the planet Aro, on which live beings who are at an even higher level of evolution than the Logo civilization. The beings of Aro live almost entirely on the astral level, and their consciousness is at one with the divine. They live according to the spiritual laws of space and are in complete harmony with them. Possibly you will have the opportunity later to become better acquainted with their way of life," Ava said, concluding his explanation. Ava told John to concentrate his thoughts and try to levitate. John was able to do so, and after a while they were flying over the surface of the planet Logo. The colors of Logo's nature were very bright, with the colors of the rainbow predominating. The land was covered with trees and bushes. Especially beautiful were the valleys and their rainbow-colored flowers. The flowers did not only provide visual beauty, but also gave off an energy-contributing scent into nature's atmosphere. While flying, John noticed that the region under them was evenly marked with small buildings lying among lakes, rivers and orchards. After they had flown for some time, they descended into a garden surrounding a white house. "Now I will introduce you to one of the spiritual masters of Logo," said Ava, and together they went towards the house, which had white walls, and at each side of the entrance stood two columns. On the rounded steps stood he who was waiting for them. His appearance was the same as the others John had previously seen on Logo, though the face of this master was slightly smoother and there was something bigger about his eyes, something more profound. He held them in a direct stare as they approached. When they had come to stand before him, he welcomed them with a small bow, which Ava returned in kind, and then said, "Amu, as you see, I have come with the spirit of one who lives on Earth, a planet lying in the galaxy. I met him on the astral plane and I offered him the opportunity of coming with me here to our planet. However, this spirit exists in a physical body called John." After this introduction, John bowed the same as he had seen Ava do. Amu said, "Come and let John's soul see how we live here on Logo." John noticed that Amu had the same type of clothing as Ava, which reminded him of the simple and free-flowing clothing of the ancient Greeks. The cloth was made from some light material. Ava and Amu caught these thoughts of John, and Ava explained to him, "Clothing for us is not simply a matter of fashion and change, but a question of practicality and of high-quality protection of our bodies. The fabric is made from natural material, and during its production it is charged with energy, and this energy remains within the cloth and is released through vibrations to the wearer. The cloth is regularly recharged and it helps the wearer achieve positive thoughts and stronger powers of concentration. Everyone alters and arranges his own clothing to suit his own taste, which means we have here a very individual sense of style or fashion based on freedom. You will see later that the colors of the clothing are bright and, if they are arranged correctly, create harmony and produce peaceful thoughts." They came into a large hall in which several entrances lead off to other rooms. John saw that the furnishings were light and airy. Amu motioned for the other two to follow him, and they went through the first entrance. "This is the spiritual room, or the room for quiet and meditation," explained Amu, and then continued, "This room is the most important in our homes. Here every morning, noon and evening I go through my spiritual exercises, as does every inhabitant of this world in his own such room. For us on Logo, the harmonic union of the physical and spiritual forms is an important part of life." John looked at the ceiling of the chapel, as he called this room, and saw that it was in the form of a small pyramid. "The pyramid structure, noted Ava, has universal significance, for it strengthens the ability to concentrate and it helps to hasten the spiritual uplifting. You will see this structure often on Logo." They left the silent room, went into the hall, and entered another room which Amu said was the place of accepting energy and which is used on Logo as a sleep chamber during the night. John learned that the nights on Logo are shorter than the days, and so the energy accepting room was like a night generator. The ceiling and walls were conical in form. The smoothness and roundness of the wall radiated, according to Amu, calmness and relaxation. Then Amu led them across the hall to a large room, which he called the Room of Creative Thinking. "In this room we meet with friends to discuss, exchange opinions, and to create new thoughts and plans," said Amu. John was aware of the room's atmosphere, which was very gentle with supportive vibrations all around. "During our discussions, the room's atmosphere and creative thoughts help to keep our minds totally open and in tune with one another. If someone comes with a new idea, we try to apply it so we can see how it would help our whole civilization of this planet Logo. This leads to very fast technical developments which are based on the ethical laws." Amu concluded his talk with these words when they had just arrived back in the large hall. "Now we have come into the room for preparing energy, where we prepare energy for physical consumption which we still accept in the form of food," explained Amu. In his mind, John compared this room of food energy to an earth kitchen. This one was much simpler because, according to Amu, the majority of food here was eaten raw. Most consumables, consisting of fruits and vegetables. Amu continued, "Therefore the food of Logo is composed of only fruits and vegetables which we obtain from the soil, trees and bushes. These products of nature are seen as compressed physical energy which reinvigorate the physical self which, as you can see, is lighter than the bodies of earthlings." John had to admit that it was true. The bodies of the people of Logo were lighter and more ethereal than his own fellow Earthlings. Avu completed his comment that the inhabitants on planet Logo have knowledge of energy food, which they serve, and, by combining it, add different kinds of energy to the body. This knowledge is important in our medical sciences, which are founded on different methods of delivering energy into the body, he noted and then continued. We combine the different products of this oil and trees according to natural laws in order to obtain the highest amount of energy of each sort which will go into our bodies. Food is prepared and mixed so that it forms a new whole, a bond of energy rich in content and thus raises its energy value in one energy current which strengthens the body but also has an influence on our mental development. In the room for preparing energy, John noticed a device, which resembled a television satellite dish. Amu explained to him that this device was for receiving energy transmissions which were broadcast over the entire planet Logo and could be picked up anywhere by these devices, without the use of wires, and that they powered all household devices. John realized that here there were no wires, only cleanly transmitted streams of energy received anywhere and anytime on the entire planet. He explained to himself that the energy waves were transmitted into space and received by this device. Amu now led John into a room, which looked like a mineral bath. From the walls, streamed out clean water into a tank that resembled a human body. In this room we lie in energized water for specific lengths of time and let it cleanse us with its energy, which removes the draining energy from us, and recharges us with new energy. This energized water is prepared in special water treatment plants, by using minerals and power stones. Their energy is radiated into the water which we distribute all over the planet. When the three of them had gone out to the garden, John noticed for the first time the definitely unique shape of the house. Its walls were rather more rounded than square and parts of the roof had a pyramid or dome shape. The reason was, explained Amu, to circulate the energy of the house in the easiest fashion. Because on Logo there were no great fluctuations in temperature, the inhabitants used the energy from the heat that is a part of the planet Logo's atmosphere. With the help of the triangular-shaped pyramid placed on the roofs of houses, this clean energy could be gathered for the entire home. Avu finished the explanation about energy by saying, on Logo we try to achieve the smallest frictional values because the greater the friction, the greater the loss of energy. For this reason we follow the physical laws about the smallest amount of friction, and the smallest physical resistance, which is the basis of our entire technology. A small distance away there was another house very similar in construction to Amu's, and in front of which two children were playing. This was a very interesting change for John. Amu added, the main idea of child rearing is that children should advance in their ethical and spiritual development. The effort of the parents is to lead the next generation through a spiritual and ethical education and learning. Visits to cultural concerts, galleries, and theaters make up an important and evident part of family life. Now, Avu and Amu began to discuss the plans for John's visit, where Avu should take John, in order for John to see the most of Logo possible in the time he still had for this first visit. The two of them agreed that John should visit some museums, universities, and temples, in order to get to know a little more about life on planet Logo. Because they both could move quickly in their astral forms, there would not be any problem in visiting several places far from one another. John decided that a visit to a museum of history would give him a better understanding of the development and evolution of the people and the planet Logo. And so, the two of them said farewell to Amu, who assured John that they would meet again. Then John and Ev rose into the air and headed toward the museum of history of the planet Logo. Under them flowed the bright, rainbow-colored land. Animals were also shining in their own colors. And Eva pointed out that the animals of Logo were on a higher level of development and that they consciously can help people. A wonderful scent produced by nature filled the entire atmosphere of the whole planet. Their flight continued over the confluence of two rivers, and John was unable to telepathically hide his admiration and awe at the sight of these two rainbows of water joining, for he saw in the water so many elements of energy. As the energy was in movement, its colors constantly changed, so that the river became a rainbow moving over the surface of the planet. John saw something similar on nearby lakes as waves of water transformed into beautiful waves of color.